everybody there was like amazed at how fast my labor was for like a first time mom, and they all like commented on like how strong and confident I was, and like how I stuck to like what I wanted and didn't give in to anything that they had kind of pushed me for.
Getting pregnant and giving birth are two of the most exciting things you can ever hope to experience in this life. The moment you think you could be pregnant, you're frantically searching for all the best information, which is why you're here today. I'm Stephanie King, and with my many years of experience as a professional childbirth educator, doula, and lover of all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, I'm here to make preparing for your birth enjoyable, empowering, and totally easy. Each week, I'll cover different topics, interview professionals, and get into the nitty-gritty birth stories from mamas just like you. And when you're ready for more, you can join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I take you step by step through exactly how to prepare your mind, body, spirit, and partner for a birth you love. So let's get started. It's time. The My Essential Birth postpartum course is here. Whether you're pregnant, just got baby home, or weeks and months into postpartum, this is the course for you. No more wondering what's normal for your body postpartum, if baby's eating or pooping enough, or how to get a good latch. You now have an all-in-one resource where you can click a topic and get the answer. Learn more at myessentialbirth.com/postpartum and add it onto the My Essential Birth course for even less when you bundle them at checkout. Already in the course? Check your student library and add the course for the same discount. I can't wait to support you on your postpartum journey. Welcome to this week's podcast. Our reviewer of the week is E. Reese 307. She says, the best podcast. Not sure that I can get a better title than that. So thank you, Reese. She said, this podcast was my best resource during pregnancy. I just had my first baby, and before the birth, I listened to every episode of this podcast. My birth preferences went out the door when my babe was diagnosed with fetal growth restriction, and I was scheduled to be induced early. This podcast gave me the strength and knowledge to stay positive and continue forward to have the most amazing natural-ish hospital birth. Now I have a beautiful baby girl who is healthy as can be at 1 week old. Thank you. What a neat review. Thank you so much for leaving that. And just all of you that leave reviews, I really greatly appreciate that. But I love to hear from you, especially if you, as you've had your babies, and I get to hear a little bit more about how you utilize the podcast or the birth course or just how it was helpful for you. So that's really awesome. Speaking of which, today I have with me Caitlin, who is here to tell her birth story. So Caitlin, will you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Caitlin. I'm in Michigan. And me and my husband had our baby October 20th of 2022.
Awesome. We're so excited. I'm so excited to have you here today with me. Will you start by telling me and the listeners a little bit about your pregnancy? Was it pretty textbook? Did you have early nausea? When did you know you were pregnant? All that fun stuff.
So I did have nausea, but I never threw up, so that was good. I knew I was pregnant. I tested before I had my missed period. I just kind of like had a feeling. So we tested and it was positive. I had a miscarriage about a year earlier, in April of 2021. That was just like very early, like 6 weeks. But this one was pretty normal. Everything went pretty good. I liked being pregnant.
That's awesome. I love that. I feel like, yes, I liked some of being pregnant. I get really excited about the labor and the birth part. But yes, I love to hear when people love being pregnant. Okay, because I know I'm curious, so I know other people are going to be curious. Which test did you use that you tested a couple days early and got a positive?
So I actually just had the ones from Amazon. They're like the little strips. They come in like a huge pack. I still have like hundreds of them to That's this awesome. Day. But yeah, they seemed like they, like even though they weren't like the first response or whatever, they still showed pretty early on.
That's neat. Do you know when you ovulate? Like, were you tracking? Do you have any idea about any of that?
Kind of. So I just have like the app that you track, but it seems like it's pretty accurate.
Okay. So how long were your cycles?
I think that like normal, like 28 days, I think it's pretty. So I used to be on the pill. And once I got off of the pill, they kind of just like continued as they were, as if I was on the pill. They actually became like more regular once I was off the pill.
Okay. And then ovulation, if you're tracking that, what days were you, do you know that you ovulated?
I don't remember.
Was it pretty mid cycle though? Or do you feel like you ovulated early?
No, so pretty mid cycle. In the middle.
That's awesome. I love that. A lot of times when you're able to test, like I was a late ovulator. And so even with the first response, like it wasn't until a missed period, like that would be the day that I would test and get a positive. But for some women, like if you ovulate early or mid cycle, then you can grab that test a little earlier. So that's really cool. That's awesome. How about things with your providers? Anything that came up during pregnancy? Any concerns or just anything you can think of for pregnancy?
Not really. So I went to a midwife, area in the hospital. So there was multiple people in the beginning. I kind of tried to see like as many of them as possible. I had one preference that I really, really liked. So then towards the end, like I tried to schedule most of my appointments with her. I had one that like we just did not vibe at all. And like all the things that I had previously talked about with the one that I really liked, she was kind of like gave me totally opposite answers. And it was really weird. So I made sure I never saw her again. But besides that, everything was good. I think around like 28 weeks or something. I honestly don't remember the exact week, but I started bleeding. Randomly, I had posted in the Facebook group actually and asked just a couple people, but I ended up going in and everything was fine. They still didn't really know like why that happened, but nothing came out of that. So
interesting. Did they do ultrasound or anything to check that out?
So they didn't do an ultrasound. They had me do the non-stress test. That was the only time that they actually did that. I thought that was kind of like standard, I guess, but I guess only there if something's kind of going on, they do that. But that was it. They did like a vaginal exam. And she just said like everything looked normal. I wasn't like dilated or anything weird like that super early. So still don't know. But
yeah, interesting.
It was alarming at first.
It would be anytime that you see. So it was like bright red blood or like trickle of blood. Yeah. That is super scary, of course. I did a podcast not too long ago about subchorionic hemorrhage or subchorionic hematoma. Anyways, and that's why I asked if they had done an ultrasound, because that's something that you can catch on ultrasound. But it's just this like little pocket between the outside of your uterine bag and against your like your insides, against your uterus. And it can just like have this little pocket that kind of all of a sudden starts bleeding and can stop and super weird.
Yeah,
anyways,
maybe it was
but
that.
Glad to hear that nothing was wrong. Yeah. Okay. You mentioned about midwife group, and there was one that you didn't like, but there was another that it sounds like you really clicked with. So how many were in the midwife group, and did you get to decide, did you have any say in who was going to be at your birth, or you still could have ended up with that other woman, and kind of what were your thoughts and plans around one or the other?
Yeah. So I want to say there's probably like 15 of them. There's a good amount there. I probably rotated through all of them in the beginning, like I said, and then the one that I didn't like, so I seen her once in the clinic and kind of knew like, well, actually, let me rewind. She was the first person that we met with for my very first appointment when you get your first ultrasound. And she just wasn't like, we kind of just knew like that first time, like, we just didn't click, you know, you just have people that you just don't click with. And so I made a point to kind of not schedule with her, but then there was a time of my appointment that whoever I was going to see was out that day and she was the only one there. So I had to see her. I got there. I didn't know that I was seeing her. And so that was kind of annoying when I got there and realized that that's who I was seeing. But yeah, we just didn't, just like I said, every time I had questions that I had kind of already asked but wanted to confirm, like she just was completely opposite on that. Now, you didn't really get a choice of who you got to see when you went into labor. There was two that were on call. So you could, like, you know, if you had a preference over one or the other, you could request the other one. Thankfully, she was not there, so it didn't matter. But the person that I really, really liked, she is in the clinics on Thursdays. And of course, my son was born on a Thursday, so I didn't have her at my birth. But the lady that I had was really great. So I had a great team with me there.
That's awesome. I do think one of the benefits of like going with a team where you have a lot of different people is kind of what you said, like shuffling through, seeing them for different appointments so that you realize there are sometimes it's just difference of opinion. Mm-hmm. It's not because things need to go a certain way, or which I think is so interesting, because when you're hearing it from a provider, it feels so definite and final and serious, and like that's what you have to be doing or should be doing.
Yeah.
Or like, are you, like, you're wondering, should I be fighting this? They must know better. Mm-hmm. When you're able to shuffle through and say, no, all of these things were great with this one provider. She loved it. She agreed with me. And this other one was like, no. So that's mm-hmm. just a difference in how they practice. So yeah. I think that's really awesome to know that. Like, even if next time you're like, no, I want to make sure I know which provider it is or whatever. Now, you know, to shuffle around and however, but I think that's important for moms to hear. And I think it's something that's awesome for you to experience as well. The other thing that you mentioned just previously, you talked about the non-stress test and the only time that you had that being at 28 weeks. And I don't know that I've really mentioned that enough on the podcast, but you brought up a great point. And the truth is, it is not something that is necessary or necessarily a common practice or is something that needs to happen, is supposed to happen just because you're getting closer to your 40-week guest date. Non-stress tests are supposed to be used in the event that you actually need to check on baby because there are some concerns one way or another. One of those can be the baby going, you know, past you're pregnant past that 40 weeks. But really at that point, a lot of that is to appease the provider more than it is to really check things out. So I'm glad you brought that up too. That was really awesome. How about your birth partner? Was he involved? What did that look like for him during pregnancy? Did he come to appointments? Was he asking questions? Was he really helpful? What was that like for you?
Yeah, so he went to most of the appointments. I tried to schedule them. I have like more time off than he does, so I tried to schedule them later in the day so he could go. Once it got to like the weekly appointments and I was like in and out, he wasn't really attending those ones. But and he did have questions. He asked questions. I liked bringing him because he asked questions that like I didn't think of. So I liked having that second person just like there listening and coming up with questions. And he did watch the course with me. So we actually didn't end up finishing it. but he watched up until the point that we got, and he was helpful with all that. It was good to just like I said, have another person hearing that stuff so that one, like in birth, there was another person that could maybe remember some things.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's so important. So talk to me maybe a little bit about your preparation. I like to ask kind of the nitty gritty details of what you did. Like, what did your daily preparation look like? What did your weekly preparation look like? What did that preparation look like with your birth partner? Were there things you were doing just by yourself, whether that's mental or physical preparation? Were there things you were doing together? What did that look like for you?
Yeah, so I was going to physical therapy at that time. I had some back pain just from being pregnant. So I was doing a lot of stretching. I was doing the squatting, probably not as much as I should have, but I was doing the squats. I was doing the inversion exercise where I'm like upside down. We didn't do like any meditation, but he would give me like a massage, and that was a way for me to like really relax. And then once we got closer, I was like doing the red raspberry leaf tea and the dates. Is it dates?
Yeah.
So I was doing like all the things. I was doing the primrose oil.
Evening primrose
yeah,
oil.
So I was
did you do that? And if you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but did you do that just orally or did you do it orally and vaginally? Or how
both,
did you utilize that? Both.
Yep.
Okay. That's awesome. So as you got closer, did you have vaginal exams then? Or
no.
Did you opt out?
None.
Okay. Because then the only curiosity I would have is like, okay, tell me about your cervix. If you're using the primrose oil and the red raspberry nope. leaf, what does that look like? That's awesome. Yeah. I am that person. Like, stay out of there, please. Thanks. were there things within the birth course or from the podcast, were there things that like really stood out to you and maybe to both of you as you were preparing that you were like, I'm so glad I learned this or I had this technique with me?
Not necessarily like techniques, but just knowing that like what I had in my head of what I wanted my labor and birth to be like things like no interventions. I didn't want an IV, like just things that you think are maybe little and maybe you'll just like let it happen. But hearing on the podcast that like you can speak up for yourself and you can say no to those things, I think was really helpful. And I think also it helped my husband because I do a lot more research on stuff like that. And him being able to hear that, like, I'm not crazy or I'm like the only one thinking of this, I think helped him. Yes. Like, he was very supportive and went along with everything that I wanted. But I think that part just kind of helped him, like, understand and feel okay and felt like I would be safe, like, regardless of what happened.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. Okay. Take me through your birth from that very first contraction all the way through. And I'm curious too, like what your last appointment with your provider looked like, what the conversation was, how many weeks you were, and then how it all began.
So my last appointment, I think I was 38 weeks. I think I was a little bit, I think I was like 37 and five or something, because of just the weirdness of how it landed. Everything was normal. She didn't check me, so we had no idea like where I was or anything like that. She didn't really say like, oh, he's going to be here soon or anything like that. He came at 38 weeks and 5 days, so he was early. I was not expecting that because I was, you know, a first-time mom, like never done this before, so I was just assuming he would be, I was hoping and praying that he wouldn't be late, but didn't think he'd be early. So my water actually broke before anything else. So on October 19th, around like 10:45 at night, I went to the bathroom and I felt like I couldn't stop peeing. And I was like, that's weird. So I went and I told my husband, I'm like, I'm either like peeing myself or maybe my water broke. But like, I wasn't convinced because I'm like, I'm early, so there's like no way. But then it kind of just kept coming. So I went to the bathroom. I was able to go pee again. So I was like, okay, maybe I just have a lot of pee. I don't know. so I decided to put a pad on just in case. And then we laid down and like a few minutes later, it like gushed out. So I was like, okay, that's like definitely my water just broke. Probably like 15 minutes later, I started having cramps. And then so me and my husband were like, okay, should probably finish packing like our hospital bag and getting some stuff ready around here. Then we laid down. I continued to like contract through the night. Probably like 2:30 to 3:30, I tried to track them. And they were like only 3.5 minutes apart. But like towards the end of that hour, they were like kind of just random. So I tried to sleep. I slept probably like an hour. My husband was supposed to actually go in early for overtime that day. So I slept from like 3:30 to 4:30 and then his alarm went off around 4:30. So he ended up calling, telling them like, yeah, I won't be there. My wife's going to have a baby. So we got out of bed probably like 5 in the morning. I just labored in the living room on my exercise ball, like on my hands and knees, leaning over on the ball. And the contractions were about like 3.5 minutes apart still. But then like a few here and there would be like really random. So about 6 a.m. is when I called the midwife's office, and they told me to just monitor it. And if nothing changed, to come in around like 10:45 in the morning, because that would have been a 12-hour mark of when my water broke. So we kind of just hung at home, and then just kind of just in the living room on the ball and like moving different positions, trying to get as comfortable as I could. So probably then around like 9:30, I decided I wanted to shower before we left. And when I got in the shower, it got super intense. Like I had like 4 to 5 contractions, like back to back in like a 10-minute shower. So then we were like, okay, we need to like probably really get moving. We also live about like 30, 40 minutes from the hospital. So that was not super far, but just still something that we like had in our head. Like we need to remember we don't live like 5 minutes away. So we packed the car, got ready. We left. When I was in the car, I was able to, they slowed down when I was in the car. And I know that you had in the podcast had said like, your body kind of knows like that you're in the car or something like that. So I wasn't worried about that at all, but I was able to close my eyes and concentrate on the ones I did get. But most of the ride home or ride there, I just had my eyes closed and was able to kind of relax. And we got to the hospital and got checked into triage at like 11:15. They wanted to know if I wanted to be checked now or later. And I didn't really want to because I wanted to delay it as much as possible. And I knew that my water had broke, so I just wanted limited checks. But I went ahead and said, like, okay, let's just see because we're already here. I want to kind of know like where I'm at. So she checked me. She said I was 3 centimeters dilated, 80% effaced, and a -1 station.
Oh, wow.
And she then asked about a IV or hep lock. And I told her I didn't want that. Like I wanted to wait. And she kind of gave me a little bit of pushback on that. She wanted me to get it like right now, but I said I didn't want one unless it was necessary. And she kind of like said, okay, we'll just wait until like we move you pretty much, which I didn't end up getting one at all, but, she kind of did try to push that a little bit. So we got to the delivery room about 12:30. I had printed out a birth plan. I printed out a couple and they had read it and then they actually hung it up on like one of the cabinets near the bed so that like anybody that came in was able to read it. So they actually suggested that and I liked that. I was able to get a tub room. They only have 2 there, and I really was hoping that I would get one. So I labored with my husband. We didn't have a doula or anything. Since he had watched the course, he was pretty good. I was like, he was my doula.
I love it.
I ended up not liking the combs at all because I brought combs. I didn't like any counter pressure. And I didn't have any music or mantras playing that I thought I would have. It was just kind of quiet. I just wanted him to be like close to me, hold his hand, have him rub my back occasionally. And then we brought a stroller fan because I watched like a ton of YouTube videos on what people bring. And I'm so glad I did because during a contraction, I would get super hot and felt super nauseous. So he would put the fan on me during that time. And then as soon as it was over, I was like freezing. So he would turn it off. And I had on my birth plan like that I wanted peppermint oil and like lavender diffused. And there was actually a midwife student there. And she was like, she basically ended up being my doula. She was amazing. I loved her so much. But she had read that on my birth plan. And during my labor in between a contraction, like she asked me, like, we have a diffuser, like, do you want me to set that up? So she actually like took that, like, I didn't even have to say anything. She just kind of took that into her own hands and, did that. So then I sat on the ball. Kind of had my head on the bed and then just was doing like low moans through the contractions. So that was probably So we got in there at like 12:30. I think around like 2 is when I got into the tub. I was in there for about an hour, and then my body like was trying to push, and I kept telling them like my body is starting to push. Like I cannot not push. And they're like, you need to not push. We need to get you out of the tub. So they all helped me out of the tub, and they said they wanted to check me just to make sure that I was ready to push and blah, blah, blah. So they checked me, and I was only at an 8, and I'm like, okay. But like my body is literally trying to push him out. So they had me change my position. I was laying on my stomach with like a bean bag, I think, under me. And they had me breathing like really fast, trying to like basically like counteract my body from pushing, because she said that my cervix could get tired out before I was actually like at a 10 and like ready to push, I guess. So they kind of had me moving positions for like an hour or so. And then she checked me again, and I was at a 10 and ready. Which come to find out, he was in kind of like a weird position. He was kind of like sideways. So I think that's what was kind of holding him in that spot. I mean, it wasn't long, it was only an
And hitting
hour,
the
but
reflex.
it
Yeah.
felt like forever
Right.
during
Well, yeah,
that
totally.
time. So I ended up pushing in a different couple different positions. They were good at like helping me change positions. I use like a squat bar. That one, that's why I said I should have done more squats, because I don't even know how long I was in that position. I don't know how I could walk afterwards from being in a squat for so long. But I ended up actually giving birth on my back, which I didn't think I would do or want, but that's just kind of what happened. And I did have a mirror for a little bit to see, and I was able to feel his head. That was pretty crazy. And then they had asked me about the Pitocin earlier, and I told them like I had talked to my midwife, and I kind of wanted to do watch and wait. And that was one of the things that like that midwife had said was totally fine. And the one that I didn't like was like, oh no, like within 5 minutes, we're going to give that to you, like regardless. And she just was like totally against the watch and wait. So it was just weird. And it's weird still, because it's like they're all in the same practice. It just seems to me like they would have like similar, I don't know, ideas about that, but she was like totally off on that. But I told them like I didn't want it, and then they asked me, they said they would do the watch and wait. And I had shepherd's purse drops that I had kind of done a little bit of research on, and heard that that's kind of like a good natural like replacement for that. So as soon as he was born, like I told my husband, like as soon as he's born, give me those. So he gave me, I think, 2 droppers of that, like as soon as he was out. And I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but they said I had very minimal bleeding, like way less than like what the normal amount is. And like I said, I have no idea if that's just my body, how it's going to be, or if it had something to do with the shepherd's purse that I took. So then he was out. I ended up, we also didn't know if he was a boy or a girl. We left that a surprise.
Oh,
So
fun. I
that
love
was
that.
cool. My husband was able to say it was a boy. I did end up tearing in 3 small areas. So she gave me some stitches. That was like the worst part. Like I was like pushing him out and doing all of that, like compared to the stitches, was like, oh, that was so bad. But they gave me a couple stitches. They said it was probably because of the way he was turned. And also towards the end, because I had been pushing for like an hour and a half, she had mentioned something to, and I don't remember because I was, in labor, like pushing him out, but I think she mentioned something like about his heart rate was dropping. So I ended up pushing like not on a contraction, because she had said something about an episiotomy, and I was like, oh heck no, like I'm not, I will push with
Yeah.
everything I have to get him out and not have one of those. So I think him being kind of sideways and also like pushing when I probably really shouldn't have been pushing, gave me those small tears. And then yeah, I mean, that's about it. Everybody there was like amazed at how fast my labor was for like a first time mom, and they all like commented on like how strong and confident I was, and like how I stuck to like what I wanted and didn't give in to anything that they had kind of pushed me for. And yeah, it was great. I had the midwife there that I had seen a couple times, a nurse that was really great, and then I had that midwife student who was like the best.
That's awesome. Talk to me about, I'm just going to ask a couple questions of like throughout your labor. So contractions, what did your very first contractions feel like? Where did you feel them? What was the intensity? What was that like for you?
Like after my labor, how did they change? Or my water broke?
Yeah. Did you have any contractions prior to your water breaking?
Nope, it just broke. And then like 15 minutes after I had contractions, they were just like normal period cramps, like in the front lower section of my stomach. And they were pretty much like that all throughout the night. I mean, I couldn't sleep, so they were probably a little bit more intense during that. And then I guess they just kept getting like more intense and then closer together. Mm.
So did you start feeling them anywhere else, or it was always lower abdomen? Did it like spread higher up or to your back?
I don't remember having much in my back. I know that's something because I always thought that we would want the counter pressure, but I don't really remember it being in my back. I know that when he was doing that, I didn't like it. So, but I think mostly it was just like my stomach.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you had different tools. Like that's kind of the goal, because it's like you hear that women love counter pressure, and it's true. Like sometimes you start, once you start, it's like that's what you're doing for the next 12 hours for mom, you know, like that's all she wants. And then there's some that like you think you're going to love it, or like I thought I was going to love massage and it was time. And it was like, well, you know, actually don't touch me and don't do this. And don't, you know, all these things we'd practice for. But thank goodness we had some other things, like even your lavender and peppermint. Did you like, once she had turned that on, did you like notice a difference? Did it pick you up? Did it calm you down?
Kind of like gave me like a boost of energy almost, like just because those are two that we use a lot. So like being able to smell that, like just kind of like, it helped. I don't know.
Totally. No, it's very real. All of your senses are so heightened during that time. Like you're in your zone, but like what you're feeling and what you're hearing and what you're like, all of that is like very, very heightened. So it's very real for those that are listening. I know it because it totally, it sometimes sounds silly to say, but like it's so real, and it can be like invigorating and re-energizing and all of that. So that's awesome. How quick was your labor? So you like from first contraction at home till you gave birth, what was the time there? Like first contraction was at what time, and you gave birth at what time?
My first contraction was around, so my water broke at 10:45 p.m. and he was born at 5:35 p.m. the next day. So
that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that would be less than,
because
24
it's not
hours.
Like that was like the very early, like until you hit active labor. Where would you say that you were in active labor?
I would say probably once I got into the bathtub around like 3, I think, only because that's when it got, I don't know if it had to do with the water, because like when I took a shower at home, it really intensified.
Right.
So then once I got in the bath, that's like when everything like kickstarted, I think. So now I'm like, for my next one, should I get in the bath like earlier?
Right. Did you practice any like relaxation or breathing or whatever when you took a shower or when you took a bath? Was there any like leading up to that?
No, not really. I kept telling myself that, like you said in the podcast, you can do anything for a minute. So like that was something that I really kept repeating to myself, and that helped a lot.
That's awesome. Were there other things that were in your mind throughout your labor that you were saying to yourself?
Like just that we're built to birth, and we're religious, so like knowing that God has his hand in this, and that regardless of like, even if something has to happen, as long as he, which I didn't know he was a he at the time, but as long as the baby is safe, right, and like I'm safe, like whatever needs to happen to get him out in here, just trusting in that.
Yeah, that's awesome. How about your husband or your birth partner? What did he do throughout the process of labor? What did that look like as far as support?
So he was close to I was on like the bed or on the ball with my head on the bed. So he was like right next to me. Like I said, he was using the fan whenever I was getting really hot during contractions. He knew to turn it off right away. He knew, because we had talked about it so much and like did the course, he knew what I wanted. He had looked at the birth plan and knew everything that I wanted. So if nurses or anybody had come in to ask questions, like he knew those answers to be able to answer them. He really was just there holding my hand most of the time. That's where I actually liked him the most. And then during when I was actually pushing, he was like, he kept bobbing back and forth because he wanted to see, but he wanted to be close to me.
Yeah.
And he knew that like they came out with a cone head and everything, but he still was like shocked at that when he came out. And I guess he said that they had told me to look down. They said, "Caitlin, look down," but he thought that they said, "Caitlin, don't look down." So then he had like a little bit of a moment of panic there. And then they were like, "Oh, what is it? What is it?" And he was kind of like still and like thought he heard something bad. And so that's kind of what he talks about, is like thinking that he heard something that he didn't actually hear. And then seeing like the cone head and everything, even though, like he said, he knew that, but like just with those words and everything, he was kind of a little bit freaked out. But
yeah, totally. Okay. How about like as you worked through the contractions and through your labor, what helped you the most? Were you like swaying? Were you vocalizing? You mentioned having some kind of like thoughts in your mind that you were repeating. We talked about essential oils. What things really helped you work through the labor?
I think the low moaning and like knowing that like what you see in the movies of like people freaking out is not what you want to do. I think that really helped. And like I said, just knowing, like, I'm a very, like, I put my mind to something and like, I'm going to do it. So knowing that this is the route that I wanted to go, like, I knew that that's what I was going to do. So I think that just helped, like being confident and knowing what I really wanted my birth to be like.
That's awesome. Okay. I love to end these episodes with your very best advice for moms that are listening and your very best advice for dads. So what would that be?
For moms, it's not necessarily like a birth thing, but I'd say after labor, make sure if you want to breastfeed that you get somebody to help you. Because when we did the golden hour and all that stuff, but the person that was going to help me latch him, whenever I asked for her, she was like gone by that point. So then like throughout my hospital stay, we ended up being there a couple days because I had high blood pressure and protein in my urine. So they wanted to monitor that just to like make sure it didn't turn into anything. But also we found out that he wasn't latched. So like the second night, he's like unconsolable because he hasn't been eating, which we didn't know. And they were not the best lactation consultants there. And then once I left, they kind of were like, they didn't give me any options afterwards. So right now I'm still exclusively pumping, which I'm so glad that I can provide him with breast milk, but I would have much rather been able to nurse him. So I would just say like, if that's something that you want, to make sure that you really voice that. I feel like I prepared really, really good for birth and labor, but then maybe just kind of thought that nursing would come natural to both of us, even though neither of us have done it before. And then for dads, I would say just try to be like supportive in any way. Like, you know your wife probably better than anybody, so knowing like her, the ways that she prefers to be supported, and also knowing, which I reminded my husband a lot of time, like beforehand, was like, if I like say like I don't want something and I'm like very abrupt or like maybe rude, like just remember that it's not like, try not to take it personal. So I'd say that too, because that was something that I tried to give him a heads up on, like that it's not me. It's just like the birth making me be like this.
Needing to get it out quickly. Oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you for being here with me and sharing your story and your strength, because it's going to serve many women. So thank you so much for your time today.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
If you loved what you heard today, the very best way to support this podcast and help other moms to find it is to leave a quick review. I read one at the beginning of the episodes, and I would love for yours to be next. And if you're ready for even more pregnancy, birth, and postpartum goodness, come join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I will hold your hand and walk you through pregnancy and birth step by step so you're totally prepared for a birth you'll love. See you next week.